Hello, everyone. My name is Jennifer Braverman.
And I'm Ellen Selm.
And welcome to our podcast, Stories from the Earth,
where we explore humankind's relationship and connection with the natural world.
We would like to take a quick moment to invite our listeners to consider supporting us through a humble little donation. You can go to our Patreon page and you can donate from $1, $5, or $10. The donations will help us fund future projects such as launching an herbal educational curriculum we've dubbed the People's Herb School, as well as helping us to take the show on the road and do some on-site reviews and interviews at herb farms and schools and herbal conferences. Hopefully we'll be able to get to one or two next year, and there may be even an opportunity to do a couple podcasts there live and in person. So we're pretty excited. Or you can support our podcast by subscribing to our YouTube channel. We have a Facebook group, and also following us on Instagram and giving us a review or rating on Apple Podcasts. So those are some awesome ways that you can support us.
Today we are talking with Megan Landreth, farm administrator of the Veterans Healing Farm in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Established in 2013 by John and Nicole Mashey. The Veterans Healing Farm is celebrating its 10th year of helping veterans in our community. The focus is on improving mental, emotional, and physical well-being of our nation's veterans and their families. Everything grown at the farm is donated back to the community, distributing produce at the local VA Medical Center, veterans restoration quarters, food pantries, rescue missions, women's shelters, and other organizations in need. So welcome, Megan. Can you tell us a bit about your background? How did you come into your role with this organization?
So I have been with the farm for 2 years now. I started at the farm after our current executive director had reached out to me about a job application. But before that, I worked, I was in the military for 10 years. I was in the Air Force. When my husband had gotten out and retired, we moved up here to North Carolina. I worked in social services and in-home care, and this job kind of fell in my lap. I was looking for something I could do at the time from home when COVID was still kind of out there, and I was taking care of my mother-in-law at the time, so I needed something I could do and take care of her. And literally I came out to the farm to visit and told Alice, said, whatever you're selling, I'm buying. Just, it felt right. Kind of how I started into the position. Have fell in love with it since. So.
Any background in farming?
None. I have no green thumb. and that was the funny thing about when I started was I was like, I'm going to work at a farm and I can't do anything. I can't grow anything. My dad actually was a grain merchandiser and all that growing up. So I had that kind of background, but was never involved in any of that with him. I've kind of fell in love with it, and not just the farm aspect of it, but the veteran side of it as well.
Yeah, for sure.
So describe how the Veterans Healing Farm got its start, and what was the main reason for starting the project?
So, as you said, 2013, I became a nonprofit. John and Nicole started the mission of the farm as a way to create culture for veterans that were getting out of the military. So a transitional step. There's a big break from active duty to veteran status on getting out of the service and finding your footing in the civilian world. And so their original focus was kind of on that and wanting to grow that camaraderie for other veterans that were in the area, and also help with food insecurities in the area. A big part of their thing was the aspect of the farming and having people out and doing potlucks and things like that, and having that camaraderie. Originally, John had this idea of having something like that because he had those problems getting out of the military where you lose your sense of purpose almost to an extent when you go from having a family and a group that you're so close with, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're on your own, even if you do have your own family. So it's a hard transition. And so he kind of grew that from that aspect.
How many veterans currently are on average, say, kind of involved in the activities there?
So we have a kind of a mix of everything. So we do workshops. We also do the agrotherapy portion of it. And what we consider agrotherapy is kind of the full cycle of being outside, putting your hands in the dirt, putting something in the dirt and watching it grow, taking that and giving it away to veterans. So that full cycle, we have over 200 people on our volunteer list. We have this year alone held over 50 workshops that we haven't even finished. And over 400 participants have came to those as well. We don't ask when people come out. We look more at numbers now this year than we did last year, just because of purpose of grants and things like that. But we don't ask them what their military status is. If they want to tell us, that's great. But the biggest thing for us is giving them a place where they can feel safe to come out and be whatever they need to be. We do, you know, have that information stored when they sign up for workshops. So about, I'd say 3/4 of the people that come out to the farm are either veterans themselves or spouses of veterans. I think we've only had 2 people that have ever came up and said, I have nothing to do with anyone that's ever been in the military. All the rest of them have had some sort of family member that was in, or, you know, a friend, family.
Yeah. Well, it's nice if, you know, your mission's calling to the people that they're like, well, I'm not a veteran, but hey, I want to help you guys.
And that's what we look at, is our family unit that we consider is veterans, family members, caregivers, and volunteers. So you don't have to have any affiliation with the military whatsoever. But if that's a passion for you and you have that calling of wanting to help veterans, then you're part of our group.
What do you love most about working for the Healing Farm?
I love the fact that we are kind of come as you are type of, you know, situation. We don't have a lot of organizations, especially veteran organizations, want to know, you know, okay, were you honorably discharged? How long did you serve? Did you do this? Did you do that? The fact that we don't ask that question, and we don't, you know, we tell people all the time, if you want to come out and you don't want to speak to a single person, that's fine. You know, if you want to come out and you want to work with a group and you want to do every workshop that's here and you want to, you know, do everything that we have, wonderful, you know, but you don't have to do any of that. And we've watched, you know, not only just in my own personal experience, you know, I've grown a lot since I've been out there, and I've watched a lot of veterans that went from not wanting to be around anyone to being part of all of our activities and all of our workshops and stuff. And that's a huge thing for me, is to be able to see that growth in people and that healing for them.
I think that's really important, you know, especially if you're in a difficult space, and to give them the space to make that, like pushing them to be a certain way, and they can feel comfortable and safe, and that definitely that allows for the growth that can, you know, exactly. the possibility of growth. And yeah, that's really cool. I saw on your website that the farm offers a lot of different classes and therapies, like a ton. It's awesome. There's a calendar up there. Can you give a brief description of some of the most popular, yes, and in what ways do they promote healing?
So what we looked at when we started out there, like I said, I've been there for, this will be almost 2 years. I was started a little bit before me. And so our focus when we started was we wanted to throw everything at the wall, see what stuck, see what, you know, people enjoyed, what they didn't enjoy, what worked for them, as far as, you know, healing. And so that's what we did. We tried to think of every type of workshop we could come up with. That was either therapy or therapeutic. So we do art therapy, music therapy. We have neuro lens therapy. We have equine therapy, canine therapy. We have an herbal medicine specialist. Her name's Rebecca, and she does our herbal classes. So classes on help with your sleep, immunity, brain health. I was about to, I'm like, yeah, that's the one I need to go to. And she will not only shows you how to make things, but then she has her group that comes out, works in the garden on Fridays, harvest, does, you know, a little bit of education during that time as well. You get to learn, you know, how to make these tinctures and salves and all that stuff to help you along the way. Yeah, we have a lot of workshops. And that's, like I said, to give people that space to where they can come out, try something new, see if it works for them, see if it's something that, you know, they can see themselves doing in a healing pattern. We have had people that come out and work with Warrior Canine, which is a service dog training that is therapeutic for the veteran and the dog. And we have seen veterans that have came out and tried the program with us, and they have stayed on with them and do 8-week sessions at a time. We have people that come and do the equine therapy with Heart of Horse Sense and end up going out to Candler and doing, you know, equine therapy every month with them. And so that's really cool for us, is to be able to see someone find that journey.
It's like you're opening the door. It's like a little sampling, and then they can take it and run with it, whatever works best for them.
That's exactly. And give them that opportunity and a safe place to where they feel comfortable trying it.
Yeah. And it's nice to have it like sort of conveniently all curated in one.
Exactly. So yeah, we try and, you know, do all kinds of different things for people to try out. So
what's been your favorite class so far?
My favorite is Warrior Canine. I have, you know, addiction to dogs. They are a great organization. They're actually like across the nation, but they have a satellite in here in Asheville that does like one of the first stages of training. Right now we're actually in a 4-week. We're in the third of the 4 weeks of a 4-week stint with them. So they normally do 4 weeks or 8 weeks, and they come out, they bring therapy dogs out that are in training to be service dogs for veterans. So they could help with mobility, they can help with PTSD, anxiety. And what you're doing in that aspect is you're training the dog, but the dog is helping you with all of those issues while you're training them. I mean, it's amazing to see a veteran come in at the beginning of the session, and you can see they can be amped up a lot of times, you know, and then they're working with this dog who they're training to eventually go on and help a veteran full time. You see that veteran over that hour or that 2 hours, you know, kind of decompress. And it's really, really cool to see how that works.
I really like it, the wide variety. I think it's very important because everyone's different.
Exactly. That's what we say constantly. Everyone's healing journey is different. Everyone's trauma is different. And so no one is going to have the same therapy and it work for everyone.
And I guess I'm certainly assuming that even if, well, I guess you spoke to it because you talked about the camaraderie piece, but even if there was a veteran who didn't necessarily feel that they carried any healing need in some larger sense, if they're just wanting the company of people who like know what it's all like, they can still.
Exactly. And that's a big thing for people that have never had that. They don't necessarily understand that connection that you get with the people that you're around when you're in the military. And so that is a very lonely place when you get out. And the feeling of people not understanding what you've been through or what you've done. And that's hard. Not only being able to give them that environment to where there's other people like them that they can talk to, or, you know, the horrible dark humor that we have. that's one of, you know, you can come out and just be you. And so, yeah, I mean, not only can they come out and do that at the workshops and meet other people, we've had more than a handful of encounters that have said, I didn't really have a whole lot of people that I hung out with here until, you know, I started coming to the farm, and now I have a new family. Like I said, those are my favorite things to hear.
Yeah. It's the proof in the pudding, so to speak, okay, that what you're doing is needed, very much needed.
Yeah. And I had never even heard of the Healing Farm until my friend who was in the military told me about it. And he sent me the article about the herbalist, their herbal director, because, you know, we talk a lot about herbs in the podcast. That's one of our main interests. And I was like, well, this is awesome. So I was really excited to say, hey, we're getting to interview them. And side note, if given the chance, I'd love to come down and bring the camera and just definitely take, you know.
We would love to have you. And I'm sure that Rebecca would love to, you know, talk to y'all as well, if you would like to. She does she works not only with the farm, but she works at a couple other places that she teaches classes on herbal medicine and things like that as well. She's amazing, and she started with us this year, and been an amazing fit to our family. It worked perfect having her out there, and her demeanor and the way she interacts with people has been wonderful.
I love to hear, especially, yeah, like Jennifer said, because of our herbal background and interests, I love to hear that she's employing that like all the way, in the sense of you're growing the herbs there and she's working in the farm with people and
yep.
bringing it full circle into the making of the product and everything. That's awesome.
Yeah. She, like I said, she's great. And she's actually connected really well with Gaia Herbs. And so we actually, they get volunteer hours every mm-hmm. month, and they actually come out and work at the farm. So they will come out on Fridays and they will work with her in the herb garden for their volunteer hours. And so we have a really close connection with them as well. So it's been really, really cool to grow that as she's been around.
Are there any classes or therapies that you don't currently offer but would like to in the future?
Everything. Everything we don't offer, I want to offer. Okay. So we currently lease the property that we are on. We sit on about 8 acres that we lease. Our goal for future, hopefully in the next year and a half, is we want to expand. Right now we are only seasonal. So we're actually having the Traveling Vietnam Wall out at the farm in November. Once that event is done, then we will be closed for the season. I work from home during that time. We do a lot of housekeeping, you know, with website and stuff like that, but we have no indoor space. That's kind of our hope, is to expand and be able to build to where we can have on-site clinical staff, actually have counseling on staff. I'm working on my master's in mental health counseling, and we've talked about, you know, transitioning into that position for the farm and doing something along that lines and running our projects year round. Right now, the biggest thing that breaks my heart is when someone contacts me in the end of October and is like, I want to volunteer. I want to, you know, go to this class. I want to do that. And I'm like, we're about done. Like, I can't, there's nothing we got for you. and that's really hard. And it's hard for our volunteers that, you know, they get so used to having that. And, you know, of course there's, you know, seasonal depression and all of that, that comes out in winter, and not being able to have that connection to the farm makes it even harder. So that's a big thing that I would love to be able to do, is be able to have year-round classes, year-round workshops. This year is the first year we're doing a 3 November, December, January series for Rebecca. But we're not being able to hold them at the farm. We're having to do an offsite location. Mm-hmm. So that is my biggest goal, is to be able to do year-round classes, whether that be the classes we're doing or continue to grow and find new classes that are out there.
I was thinking about, could you do something over the internet?
We've talked about that before. We actually worked with I believe she's with Blue Ridge, Blue Ridge Community College. She teaches like a writing course. And I got them and Wounded Warrior Project connected, and they did an online course for writing. The biggest thing for us is, because we are, you know, a nonprofit, we completely rely on donations and our volunteers. One, we want everyone to come and see the farm and get to experience that part of it. Mm-hmm. But two, the other thing is, if all of our workshops, we try and make hands-on. So you're painting something, making something, creating something that you're taking with you. We just did a mushroom class Saturday where they did log inoculation and they took their logs home with them. Trying to find that, okay, do we buy the supplies for these people that are going to do it online? Do we send them to them? Do they come get them? How would that work? Is a big thing for us. You know, we want to make sure that the workshop is the best that it can be for the people that are doing it, and figuring out what those logistics look like.
You lose a little of the personability if you don't get to meet up and hang out in person, for sure.
And we do want to, you know, we've had that question quite a few times, because there's groups like out of Charlotte that have reached out to us, and, you know, well, no one wants to drive all the way from Charlotte to come here for a workshop. You know, we do get people from all over the place. But if they could do something online, So we've talked about, you know, possibly doing like live feed for during our classes, and they would just have to buy the things, you know, to do them. But like I said, a lot of logistics of what the plan would be for that and how we would set that up.
Yeah, I was just thinking in the meantime, when you, because you don't have, you know, in the meantime, until you get your space, it might be sort of a, just a stopgap, hold you over to have that connection. Not the same as in person. And it does sound like a lot of your classes is hard to translate into the online space.
And there are some that, you know, like the writing class, we can do, you know, something like that online. One of the big things was when we started doing all these workshops, we wanted to make sure that, you know, they took something, not only the knowledge of it, but were able to, you know, create something that they were taking with them. So, yeah, it's a lot of, like I said, trying to figure out how to make that work.
So aside from that challenge, what have you found challenging about working at the Veterans Healing Farm?
Every day is a challenge. It is not just the farm necessarily. It's working in the nonprofit world. A nonprofit is a very hard thing because you are constantly fighting an uphill battle of how do we make money? How do we get people out here? How do we get people, you know, to remember us? How do we get our name out there? What can we do to draw people in? You know, it's a constant thing. My director always says he doesn't go past a vending machine without checking for change for the farm, you know, and that's a constant. You know, you're constantly, how do we continue to make this work? How do we continue to grow and build on what we have?
Do you all hold like some specific fundraising events targeted for the
community? Well, now that you've said that, I set you up perfect for that, didn't I? We actually, this Saturday, I almost said Friday, this Saturday, we are actually doing a fundraiser. It's a comedy fundraiser out at Point Lookout, and we're having, there's a band, and then we'll have a comedy set and then another band. And that's really the first fundraiser that we've ever really held. We've been very fortunate that we have had donors that have, you know, believed in what we're doing and helped us out in that aspect. Once we start looking at hopefully expanding and things like that, we will look at fundraising more so in that side of it. The biggest issue for us is I, myself, and Al are the only two full-time employees at the farm.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So we are very, very short-staffed. The entire staff includes me, Al Yek, which is our executive director, Dale, who is our grounds manager, Rebecca, who is our herbal medicine specialist, and then we have two kind of part-time. The other two are full-time, but they're only seasonal. So literally the only two full-time employees are me and the executive director. So we are running on, you know, fumes by the end of the year. So trying to find volunteers that want to help us look at fundraising and things like that is a big thing. And being able to move that forward to where we can fundraise more for the farm.
I was thinking also you could, if you make products like herbal products, do you sell them or have you considered selling them at like a farmer's market or something?
No, we give everything that we have at the farm away. So
I remember that. Sorry.
All of our produce. So once a month we set up in front of the VA in Nashville, actually started a Hendersonville location this year at the Buzz, which is a non-alcoholic bar here in Hendersonville. They do music, mocktails, coffee. And we've kind of gotten really close with them. So we set up there this year for the first time. We had a Hendersonville location, and then we donate to SafeLight, IAM, the free clinic. They make meals from our produce and a lot of the other shelters in the area. We have discussed, and there is discussion of an herbal line for the farm, but that's discussion right now.
Yeah, I was just thinking that there'd be another way to make some money for the farm, going to some, you know, farmers markets, maybe like support the veterans. If you had any, like, I don't know, surplus or extra or
We have quite a few volunteers that will make different things from the farm. We had a girl for her junior and senior year. She would set up at the farmer's market and she made muffins and stuff from the produce that she would get at the farm. And then she would give money back to the farm with what she earned from there. But we have, like I said, quite a few volunteers that are very generous when they go out and sell their stuff. You know, they want to donate back to the farm, and it's greatly appreciated. Every penny counts for us, so we appreciate everything that comes in.
And I just want to say also that it's awesome that you give, you know, everything away as well. Like, I just, yeah, that's really cool.
And all of our workshops are free as well.
Wow. So another amazing thing.
We started out this season doing a deposit system because we did have an issue with like no shows for workshops last year, and we're able to kind of get away back from that after the first month. And the deposit was refundable if you came to the workshop. So if you did not come to the workshop, we got your $20. If you came to the workshop, your $20 was refunded. But it was kind of a good system to be able to make sure we didn't have the no shows, because we are paying for the supplies and all of that stuff for these workshops for everybody. This year we had a really good turnout with most of our workshops, and it's just been amazing to see, you know, how many people have enjoyed it.
Can you share a memorable success story or experience from the Veterans Healing Farm that highlights the impact of your work on veterans' lives?
Okay. What was the first question now? I look at everybody that comes out to the farm is a success story to me. We had a husband and wife that husband was in the military. Wife had came out for a workshop, and she had came out and helped in the garden. And she was like, you know, I really want to get my husband out here. He's completely, you know, against it. Doesn't talk about his military service, anything. And she's like, I'm going to trick him. And we were like, okay. So, if you don't know any military members or any veterans, we're extremely stubborn. And so we were like, sure, go for it. And so she told her husband that the workshop ended like 30 minutes before it did. And so he had to come get her earlier than what the workshop was ending. So he ended up at the farm for about an hour before she was actually done. And so we went out and introduced ourselves to him and took him around the farm. And now he's one of our volunteers. And he talks to us about his service and, you know, his life and the things that he's done. And she's like, I've never seen him like this before. Like, he's opened up again and he's happy again. And, you know, he is, you know, able to communicate with other people, and he doesn't just seclude himself to the house. And we have tons of those stories, veterans that come out that have literally locked themselves in the house and have came out once or twice. And they're like, I don't want to be that person anymore. I want to be out here and, you know, get to know people. And it's amazing to get to see that and see that transition. I have one veteran that for the longest time, he used to come out by himself. I knew he was coming because he would email me and he'd ask, you know, okay, when can, you know, what bed do you need me to weed? What, you know, where do you need me to be at? And I knew he would come out and he would spend the day by himself doing his own thing. That's perfectly fine if that's what you want to do. And I actually had, this was last season, and I had somebody come up and introduce him to me. And I was like, I know who he is. Like, we talk. But nobody else knew that he had been there this entire season. And so this year he started every volunteer day that we had. He came out with the group, started out doing all of that. And a few months back, he came out, and I knew he hadn't been out for a while. And I knew he had had some family health issues and things. And, I asked how everything was going, and his spouse had passed, and I was like, I'm so sorry. You know, and he's like, this is where I need to be right now. And I was like, that's fine. Whatever you need, you know. And it's things like that. Like, your first thought is, I need to go to the healing farm where I can feel okay. That's a success story to me.
I think it's so awesome that, because if I think about within our lifespans, I'm guessing you're probably in similar age range to us. There's been so much more of an acceptance, I think, in our culture about like encouraging people to seek mental health help, and that it's not shameful to admit there's any kind of trauma and that things can be worked through, whether it means working on it, you know, on your own or in a group setting, you know, but more that the effort's put in and that it's supported. And like to hear, you know, because I think like, you know, my grandparents were in World War II, and how many people came out of those scenarios, and because of the times,
exactly,
like zip, that's mm-hmm. a whole different part of my life. Nobody yeah. talks about it. Nobody's allowed to bring it up.
Vietnam especially is a huge one that, you know, we have a lot of veterans that come out to the farm that, you know, we find out that was the era that they were in, and they didn't talk about it. And that's a huge thing for them. And, you know, being able to have a group that they can talk about. And like you said, there's a bias with mental health, and it's finally starting to not be such a huge bias and a huge stigma, you know, against it. And that's still out there for military. Unfortunately, when you're in the military, it's bad for you to go do mental health, because, you know,
they don't want to look on your record. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, is this something that's going to make you literally lose your job? And then being a veteran, you know, you come out of that, you're kind of taught that's how it's supposed to be. And so you bottle all that up mm-hmm. and we don't talk about it. Learning that that's not a weakness, and it's okay to, you know, get help for the issues that you have. And a lot of the people coming out of the military have those, regardless if it's, you know, this high or this high, you know, it's there. And finally realizing that's okay.
I remember I watched a lot of MASH, the TV show MASH. I don't know if anyone's familiar with MASH. There's an episode with one of the doctors, and it must have been like a very kind of a controversial episode, because I mean, I didn't realize it at the time. He was on a bus, and this is kind of graphic, but like they were hiding from the Chinese, and it had to be really quiet. And he kept saying there was a lady with a chicken, and who was making noise, and the lady actually kills the chicken, but. It's the episode sends him kind of, he's a doctor, he's in a MASH mobile hospital unit, sort of puts him into mental, he has to go see a therapist, and he has to go away from the MASH unit for a long time, because actually the chicken wasn't a chicken, it was a baby. And it was so traumatic. And I just, everything that you're saying, made me think about that, and how like they knew about that and that they incorporated into this TV show.
Yeah. And especially at that time when that, you know, that show was out, that, you know, that was a huge controversial thing. Like mental health was really not talked about. Like I said, there's still a stigma, and thankfully it's starting to lift a little bit more than it was. And we're starting to do that with veterans and military finally as well. And hopefully that continues. Yeah, you said MASH. It kind of made me laugh because our executive director calls me Radar. Because he'll be like, hey, can you do? And I was like, I already did it. He's always like, how do you know? I'm like, because I worked with you for 2 years. Like, we work directly with each other. So he'll send me like little memes with like Radar on it.
That's a really good show. But they took him through the whole healing process, where he, you know, had to get back to doing his job, and it was really difficult.
That's probably part of the effectiveness you all have, though, because it's veterans helping veterans. That's gonna hit home, you know, even more. So that's awesome.
Exactly. And that's the biggest thing, is realizing that you're not alone. We call the farm the Island of Misfit Toys. It's actually what our podcast is, Island of Misfit Toys.
Oh, okay.
and because we laugh that, you know, everyone has their own stuff going on, but they're still loved and cared about just like anybody else, just because they have something, you know, that's affecting them, or so they don't work right, that doesn't make them not useful. And that's the biggest thing for us is, like I said, creating that place for everyone to be able to come to and realize that this is their farm too.
Now, what if a veteran can't visit the farm, like they hear about it, but they live too far away or other circumstances are preventing it? Are there some simple things that they could put into practice at home, like some of the therapies that you teach on the farm? Like, what would you encourage them to do in their own space and time?
So a big, you know, the biggest thing that we always tell them is, you know, make sure that you have that plan for yourself. If you know that there's something, you know, get the help that you need. Find the people around you that are willing to help you. But, you know, as far as, you know, what we do at the farm, we welcome anybody from however far you want to come to us. But that's a big thing for us too, is we try and pull as many resources from as many places as we can. We do a resource fair every year. This last year, we had over 700 people that came out to the farm. Wow. With over 35 organizations from veteran organizations. And wow. Not only was yes, we like tripled our numbers from last year. This was our second year. We had 35 organizations. We had two bands, a food truck, and it's just a fun time, but it's also different organizations from where as far as out as they want to come to be able to set up a table and tell people about their organization. Not only does it help grow that organization, it helps the veterans find that organization, but it helps those organizations connect with other organizations that are in that like mind. And that's a big thing for us too, is being able to collaborate with other organizations. Our goal is to be able to, okay, we're here, but there might be a farm in Tennessee that kind of does the same thing that we might be able to connect you with. And we've gotten people from Texas that are working on a farm that is kind of similar to what we're doing. They came 2 months ago to come see our farm, to see how we were doing it, what we were doing, and they want to build something along that same line. So our goal is to be able to have those resources all over, to be able to say, okay, you can't come to us, but reach out to these people.
It'd be like a whole Veterans Healing Farm network. So anybody can hear about, I hear about the Veterans Healing Farm. Look it up on the network. Find their closest branch kind of thing.
Yeah. That's kind of what we want. We want to be able to, and it doesn't have to be a farm type thing. We want to be able just to connect organizations everywhere to be able to say, we can't get to you, you can't get to us, but reach out to Joe Schmo in California. And they have this awesome organization that, you know, we recommend you to go to, and they can help you out. Then just having that little connection to be able to get them somewhere.
I like that I can see you have thought about, you know, what you want to happen in the future and the goals for growth. And I'm very excited. That's really cool.
Yes. If we could just have, you know, like $1 million, then I could just do all these organizations everywhere. No, but we look at, you know, a constant, you know, what can we do to make it better? What can we do to make this veteran's life better or that veteran's life better, whether it's here or all the way across the United States?
So can you tell us some of your favorite ways to connect with the natural world, find peace, and stay grounded in your everyday life?
Well, I work at the farm. No, it's kind of a running joke because that's my dogs. So we have shipment containers for kind of our little bunkhouse area. And we were running on solar power and it was, you know, this huge thing. Our batteries died out last year and we had to get all this stuff done. And so our office building, the real office building that I'm supposed to be working in, I have not worked in once because we have not had power in it. So literally I sit on the deck with my laptop and I have this view of the creek and the farm and the mountains and all that. And I tell everybody, I said, I have the best view for an office that anyone could have. You know, I work outside on a daily basis and I literally, there are days that I get there and I love the fact that I work for a veteran being a veteran. Cause there are days that, I mean, and any of us, said, you don't have to be a veteran, get up and we're like, today is a bad day. Like, I don't want to be around people. I don't want to do anything. And I'll get to the farm and I'll be like, I'm not talking to nobody today. I don't want to see anyone today. And I'll put my earpods in and I'll go to the garden. I'll start weeding, you know, or doing produce, whatever I've got to do that day. And I just go do my own thing. And within 30 minutes, I'm back here. I'm chill. You know, I'm back to where I need to be. You know, everybody asks us when we talk about agrotherapy and they're like, well, how do you know that it works? I'm like, I'm living proof. Like, I watch myself on a daily basis. You know, I have extreme social anxiety and I give tours every week of my farm and tell people about it. And I go to events and talk to these huge groups of people and, you know, being able to tell them about this amazing organization and what we do and all of that just is proof that that is working. Mm-hmm. Being outside, being in the dirt, helping shut down everything else has helped me heal in that aspect.
The power of dirt.
Exactly.
I mean, I definitely do not get outside enough. And I think a lot of us don't. And it would just be so nice to be able to do that. Definitely. More for sure. Yeah. I was off work today and we took a nice walk and it was just like, well, we got to walk outside. And I'm like, when did we walk last? I'm like, yeah, I don't remember. You know, like we exactly. You know, I walk at work, but it's inside. It's all inside. So I do like several miles around one building inside. Mm-hmm. But it's just,
like I said, I am lucky enough that that is my job. I'm outside, I'm at the farm and things like that. But there are times that I get stuck, you know, for the entire week on the computer and okay, I need to not be doing this for at least an hour. You know, I need to go do something. I need some time away from this and being able to kind of step away from that side of it as well. And I think that that's just part of society anymore. Anyway, too, is, you know, oh, I'll go for a walk tomorrow. Oh, I'll go work in the garden tomorrow. You know, I come home and I'm in the house. I'm like, I should really go do something outside in my yard.
And a lot of the work is on the computer. I understand how you feel because I get insane when I sit in front of the computer, like for hours on end. I'm like, 2 hours? Okay, I gotta stop.
Well, and that's what, you know, I'd said before when I got out of the military, I went to work for social services. And so I went from, you know, being in the military for 10 years to working in a cubicle inside for 8 hours a day. And it was, I felt horrible when I would leave at the end of the day. I was just like, I'm so drained. You know, I've been locked in this box all, you know, for the entire day and that's all you get. And yeah, it was. One of those, I was like, I need to do something different.
Oh, I'm glad you were able to find that.
Me too. Yeah.
So you told us about your most immediate upcoming event, but is there any other events or educational opportunities that you're offering that you'd like to share with the audience, like for them to keep a lookout definitely. For?
Yes. So, like I said, we have our fundraiser this coming week, and then our last event of the season will be in November, November 9th through the 12th. We are having the Traveling Vietnam Wall out at the farm. It'll be set up by 3 o'clock on the 9th. It's escorted in that day. We're putting it up and constructing everything and having it ready to go. On the 10th is our opening ceremony at 11. So we'll actually have the high school here presenting the colors. We'll have the national anthem song. We have a guest speaker who is actually a Vietnam POW. So he's gonna, you know, present the wall and everything. And then it'll be open to the public 24 hours a day for the next 2 days. And then we tear down, put back into the trailer on the 12th. But we'll have brothers and sisters like these out to do a reading. That group will only be Vietnam veterans at the time. So that is a writing group out of the Asheville VA that is from, well, I mean, any war at this point. And anybody that was in the military can go to this writing group, and they tell stories, and they actually get up and present them. For our wall time, they're going to come out with just Vietnam veterans and do a reading at that point. So they'll be out there on the 10th at 1. And then we have Quilts of Valor on the 11th, which is a quilting group that does American quilts and presents them to veterans. So we're giving 9 quilts to Vietnam veterans on the 11th. And then we have Bullets and Band-Aids, which is a writing group and art group that they have military members tell their story, and then they connect them with a local artist, and that artist creates a piece of art based off of their story. And they're actually getting to go to one of the museums up in DC and showcase up there is one of their next locations, but they're actually going to display the entire time that the wall is out there. We'll have them on display, and he's going to do all Vietnam era stories for the wall being out there. So we have that in November. We do have a couple classes left for the season. Like I said, Rebecca is doing 3 herbal classes, and November and December are actually going to be holiday gift making with herbs. So she's doing a November one and a December one. And then she's doing chocolate and cordials in January. Ooh. So we'll be teaching that beginning of January. And then, like I said, we're in Warrior Canine right now. And I think that's about it for the season.
Well, this podcast will go up the end of October. So
awesome.
Before
we wrap up, you mentioned that you are starting a podcast. Now this podcast is coming soon, but please check the description below if you're watching this in the future.
Yes.
because we'll have the link.
Yes,
but currently no link. And so, yes, please tell us the name, which you mentioned, the name again, and the sort of the idea behind it, and maybe like what are you going to talk about? Are you going to have a guest, or sort of maybe the concept?
So we, as I said, we kind of made the joke about the Island of Misfit Toys for the farm. So the podcast isn't linked to the farm. It's something that me and Al started ourselves. And so it's called the Island of Misfit Toys podcast. And we started it based on the fact that when we started this whole connection with the resource fair for the farm, a lot of the organizations didn't know these other organizations existed. And these are organizations that are 30 minutes away from each other. And to us, that was sad, not only for the organizations, but for individuals trying to find these organizations. Mm-hmm. And so we started thinking about what we could do to help that. So we started this podcast. And again, coming soon, because we are trying to build up some of our episodes before we start throwing them out there. But it is for veteran resources. So our goal is to hit all 50 states. And connect with resources all over the United States that we can find that help veterans. If they're national, wonderful. If they're individual states as well, we want to connect with them, get their information out there, talk about what they do, how they got started. If someone's interested in starting an organization, they can, listen to it as well and see why these people got started, what they did, how they did it, and what they're doing now. And so we kind of decided that was going to be one of our personal projects. So we could get all these organizations out there. Like I said, we try and hit the ones that we know currently and reach out as much as we can. But we love recommendations from anybody. And we have our email set up, Island of Misfit Toys Podcast at Gmail. com. So if anybody has any ideas of organizations, we would love to have them. And not only, you know, to put on the podcast, but, you know, to be able to connect with as well. Like I said earlier, being able to give veterans these resources in their time of need is kind of our goal personally and professionally. So we, so we started that based off of it, and we're trying to connect with organizations to get on there and get their information out.
That sounds amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's an amazing idea.
No idea anything about podcasts. And the VA actually has a recording studio.
Oh, wow.
That we actually are able to utilize over there. So there is a guy in there. His name is Gene. He's amazing. And just walk in and sit down and talk. And I'm like,
oh, wow.
You do all that stuff.
Because I do all the
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. That's why I was like, you're the genius behind the soundboard.
Yeah, especially
I just talk to a mic.
Yeah, right. I mean, I haven't yet gotten mics for us. But with our in-person podcast, which we're starting to do, you know, I'm in like mixer land. I'm learning about mixers. I'm learning about mics. I'm learning about all the cables.
Oh yeah.
I'm just, you know,
I can
like
only imagine.
I mean, and then we want to live stream it at the same mm-hmm. time. Like,
exactly.
You know, like, and so it's like camera,
yeah,
mixer, computer, like, yeah, that's all me.
I was gonna say, so you're doing all the hard work behind there. We just talk on the mic and so we do like Zoom. We interview different organizations on Zoom and do 20-30 minute interview with them and, you know, get that information and stuff like that. And it's been great working with them. And they have a lot of organizations that have started doing different programs like that. So it's been really cool to be able to connect with them as well.
Yeah, because actually, as you were talking, my question was, oh, are there other organizations that do the same thing as you do? And you really have answered that.
Yeah, so Warrior Canine, the one that I told you is one of my favorite groups, they actually started a podcast called Behind the Vest or Under the Vest, guarding service dogs and talking to different veterans that have service dogs and different organizations as well. But they're kind of the ones that kind of gave us the idea of being able to start it. And they're just one of the many that have, you know, kind of jumped on the podcast train of, you know, being able to get different ideas out there to people. And so it's been really cool to get to see the different organizations that are connected through the VA podcast and stuff.
Yeah, people are very hungry for connection and information. Mm-hmm. When I first started this podcast, I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, it didn't start out as a podcast. It started out as me talking to my herbalist friend about the idea was to talk about different ways to be an herbalist.
Yeah.
And so I was going to be interviewing one person, and I was like, yeah, whatever. She posted it on her social media, and it was like, I want to talk. And I was like, whoa. So I was just blown away by that. Like, you know, the amount of people that just want to talk, they want to connect.
The first episode we ever did, I was like, okay, so I'll say this. And then I was like, no, you just keep talking. I'll talk when I feel ready. And it was like, I don't think that's how this is going to be able to work. And I was like, it'll work. Don't worry. It'll work. I'll get it. It's okay.
I was surprised how like less shy I was in front of a camera and just like, and then how much I personally had to say. And I was like, wow.
And I have found, and a lot of people tell me that, you know, when they find out like that I have a social anxiety and, you know, and all of that, they're like, you don't seem like you do. And I'm like, I get to talk about something that I love. And they always say that, you know, when you find something that you're passionate about and something you love, it's not as hard to talk about it in front of people. Now, put me in front of a crowd and make me do small talk. I'm like, I'm chewing on my gum or my tongue and trying to talk to them. I'm like, the weather's pretty. But, you know, give me something I'm passionate about and I'm good with it. So,
yeah, it does make a difference. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we officially wrap up, or
I think I'm good.
Okay. Thank you everyone for listening. Thank you, Megan.
Thank you, Megan, for
joining us. We're super, super excited. We will have all of the links to the Veterans Healing Farm down in the description of this podcast. So please check out their classes and their website. You can follow us on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on YouTube. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on TikTok. So please follow us, like and subscribe. And if you have like an extra dollar or so, please consider supporting us on Patreon. We appreciate the support. All right. So until next time. Bye.
Thank you so much, Megan.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.